Good morning, everyone. You are listening to The Beacon.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into The Beacon. And that was a voice you're familiar with, but not the normal person who opens the show.
I am not Lainey.
No, that was Sandy Murillo. Yes. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also good morning to Brett Shishkoff. They're both here in the studio in place of Lainey. Not that it takes both of you to supplant her, but...
Well, to be fair, I think it does take probably the two of us to... come anywhere near the awesomeness that is Lainey.
That is Lainey, yes.
That's why we have the Beacon Trio here.
Yes,
Brett,
we do.
Me, and, of course, our wonderful Brian Hawkins. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing fine. It's been a wonderful week and lots of things to talk about.
Yeah, basketball just started.
Yes, and the season opened with the Bulls playing Philadelphia, but we don't know the outcome as we're taping this Thursday afternoon, but that's okay. There's plenty of other games to go around.
Yep.
And also the Bears will take on Tom Terrific tomorrow.
Mr. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Should be a good game. I'm interested to see what the Bears can come up with, if they can... If Mr. Mack and company can keep him on his back most of the game, I think the Bears have a chance. If he has all day to pass, Bears are going to have a tough time beating them Patriots.
And the Patriots have a good defense, but the Bears do too, so that should be an interesting game. And just before we went on air, you had something you were talking about regarding online streaming and Hulu.
Yes, I actually found out yesterday that Hulu will now start... offering audio description, and they are working on their accessibility of their apps and website. There was a class action suit that was filed against them from ACB and Kim Charlson and her husband. They both filed this class action suit, I think it was about a year ago when she was on the show, and they finally have gotten it resolved. So starting in... by 2020, they should have everything accessible for their apps and website. And as soon as possible, they're going to start offering audio description on anything that they have in their library that offers audio description originally. So any TV shows that have been aired with audio description, they said they should be able to get the audio description on most of that content. And then anything Hulu produces themselves... they're going to start adding audio description to right away as well. Also,
and anybody who knows anything about Hulu knows they produce a lot. And we're going to have those folks on at some point to talk about it. It took a whole year to do that.
Yep. It takes a little while when you have the court system and working out, you know, what they can do, what they can't do. Getting everybody in a room to try and work everything out. It as we know, any type of thing that you take into the courts, it can take some time.
Yeah. And speaking of streaming online, have you heard of Haunting of Hill House? I think that's the name of it.
I have seen it pop up on my Netflix a few times when I'm, you know, it's like when they have like the spotlight thing that first pops up on your screen. I haven't checked it out yet. I know Halloween is coming and it's right around the corner. Maybe this will be something I check out this weekend. And who knows, if I like it, I might have it as part of our It's Highly Recommended segment.
Well, you know... I'm sorry, Sandy.
That'll be perfect for this weekend. I mean, it is the weekend, two weekends right before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold. It'll be one of those weekends when we just want to stay at home.
Well, I don't know, because it's been reported that particular series on Netflix is so scary. It
Ooh.
Is so scary that people are passing out, they're vomiting, and after they watch it, they can't sleep.
Well, if it's based off of a book that I think it's based off of, I've read the book, and it's something very, it has a similar title, but it is, like, it's based off of Hell House.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book is definitely very dark, and if they went full out
and
from what was in
usually.
The book, it it could make some people pretty sick. There are some instances in that book that I wish I didn't read the book because of how graphic it could be.
Oh, wow.
So if the movie is as graphic as the actual book, then yeah, I might have Poet next to me and be curling up next to him and having him protect me from the scary things on the screen.
Hmm, yeah, that's pretty scary indeed.
Yes.
And of course, we should mention that in the tradition of Halloween, coming up on Saturday, October 27th from 1 to 3 p.m., there is the Halloween costume party that's taking place at Lighthouse North. Yeah.
Very nice.
Any of you have plans for Halloween costumes?
Well, I'll be myself.
I haven't thought about one for this year, but I've been working on trying to lose some weight and get down to either being Shaggy for Shaggy and Scooby for me and my guide dog Poet.
Oh, that would be a good one.
That's cute.
Anyone who has seen Spaceballs, I'm thinking about being Lone Star and then Poet being Barf, which is the half-man, half-dog character in Spaceballs. So those are the two that I'm working towards, but I'm kind of a little bit overweight for both of those characters, so Poet's in the perfect spot. He kind of has that part down. I myself need to get my weight under control before I feel comfortable being a Shaggy or Lone Star.
Oh, you have less than 2 weeks, Brett, so.
Now, how about you, Sandy? Do you have a costume in mind?
I'm going to be myself, probably.
Oh.
I'm always myself on Halloween.
Ah, that's a far stretch.
Very far stretch.
Oh,
what an imagination, right?
I hope people recognize you.
I know. I that's, yeah.
That would be pretty sad.
I told someone here at the lighthouse the other day, I'm like, you know, I might dress up as a sighted person.
Yeah.
That would be surprising to most people. But are you one of those people, like, for Halloween, when people ask, are you going to dress up, and then you'd come with, like, just, like, one of those headbands with just cat ears on them, or
if
like
that,
devil horns, yep, or something like that.
Yep.
Okay.
A pumpkin shirt.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Sandy, what else is coming up activity-wise with the lighthouse?
Well, here at the lighthouse, we are actually done with our major events, but we do have a smaller event. Actually, well, next Wednesday. In other words, this upcoming Wednesday, which is October 24th, we have our Sips for Sight.
Oh, yeah.
Event, you know, some wine tasting.
Are you a wine drinker or more of a beer enthusiast?
I'm actually getting into wine, Brian.
Well, you know, beer is crossing into the morning time. Usually around this time,
really,
people are having their coffee and their breakfast, but there are some beers that have coffee in them,
mm-hmm,
and I've not tried them.
I've heard, but I haven't ventured that much.
Well, that's coming up on the 24th, you say?
That is correct. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Erie Cafe, and that, I believe, is at 536 West Erie in Chicago. But for more information, to get the address, to purchase tickets, you can go to our website, www.chicagolighthouse.org. And it is important to mention that proceeds will benefit our children's programs here,
mm-hmm,
at the Lighthouse.
Let's get into the program. And what a program that we have. Shelley Hamer, she's the manager of Chicago Lighthouse's Youth Transition Program. She's going to stop by and she'll tell us all about that program. We haven't heard a whole lot about that. You know, the Lighthouse has, what, 39 programs?
39.
Yep.
When I started here, we had 26.
Okay, so it's grown quite a bit since you've gotten here.
Oh, definitely. And then, of course, we're going to experience what you guys recommend that folks go out and watch or listen to or
read.
Yeah, okay.
Enjoy.
So, mm-hmm, yeah, we have a book recommendation and a play recommendation coming up a little bit later.
And Luke's Laboratory. Well, we'll get the latest on accessible tools. So let's get things underway. Of course, you're listening to The Beacon. This is a public service of the Chicago Lighthouse right here on WCPT 820 AM.
Nine major television networks are making some primetime and children's programs more accessible to persons with impaired eyesight. For about 4 hours a week, the networks will be providing video description, an audible narration of a program's key visual elements inserted in natural pauses of the dialogue. The description may be accessed by a television's secondary audio feature, which might be labeled SAP or Spanish, since the feature is sometimes used for a language translation. To learn about described programs shown in your area, contact your cable or satellite television provider or your local ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC station. To learn about your equipment's secondary audio feature, contact the vendor or manufacturer. The Federal Communication Commission's information on video description is available at www.fcc.gov or by calling 1-888-225-5322.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people were so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. So every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, in the studio with me now is Shelley Hamer, manager of the Chicago Lighthouse's Youth Transition Program. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Now, this program is mainly, administered, is that the right word, from Lighthouse North, right?
Correct. Yes. My office is in Glenview at the Lighthouse North operation. We do have most of our programs based out of there, with some also here in the city at 1850.
Now, the Youth Transition Program is for teens who are blind or visually impaired. Now, for teens who participate, what kinds of program activities can they expect?
Well, first of all, the program is geared for students ages 15 to 24, so we also have some early college students that also take part in the program, which is why it's called Youth Transition rather than just Teen Transition. We have all types of programs to help them gain independence and confidence as they transition from the school system into adult life and post-secondary. So for this coming up now, we have a program called Money Matters, which is November 3rd in the Glenview, 222 Waukegan Road. And that is going to deal with scholarship programs that are available to students who have low vision and blindness, things that will help the parents to obtain money, how to work with some of the programs, and then once they get money to help them with post-secondary, what do you do with it? And that's going to be done by our own Maureen Reed here at the Lighthouse, who runs our scholarship program, and Elise Cucciera, who is a grant writer and has a lot of experience in the area. So that should be an exciting program. We do have a lot of kids coming from all over to attend that, and that's still open. To sign up, you just go on the website to Youth Transition and sign up there.
And for youths who want to join the program in general, they would do the same thing, go to the website?
Right. We have an application process on the website. So you can sign up as a new applicant or as a returning applicant. It's a pretty simple process. We also, I'm not sure yet what the December program will be. In January, we will have a ski program out at Alpine Valley. We partner with ABSF Ski Program. They provide the guides, the instructors, the equipment, the lessons, the lift tickets. And that we went last year, and the kids found it exhilarating. I know one student said it was, I was never so nervous and never so excited at the same time.
Now, is there an opportunity for youths to perhaps get job experience?
Oh, well, that's a program. And I'm looking at having some sort of program during the school year. Right now, it's a summer program only. It's called First Jobs. We do a week of training. Last year, we did the week here at 1850. And we talk about how to write a resume, how to talk about a disability with an employer and peers, all types of activities, communication, how to interview. We do mock interviewing. That's all the week before. And then this past summer, we had a six-week, what we called an externship, with Walgreens. So we had five separate sites near the students' homes. We had two Chicago sites, one in Aurora, one in Dulson, and one in Arlington Heights, where the students with a job coach participated in 6 weeks of actual job experiences, and they were paid.
So how do you convince owners of businesses to hire the youths in the program and give them a shot?
Well, that's been a slippery slope, as I could say. I was very lucky this year to find a partner in Walgreens, and I think that's going to continue for a while. I met the people from Walgreens as they were on a tour of the Lighthouse and talked about the program. They didn't think at first that they could help us, and as time went on and I got to talk to them more, we were lucky enough for them to give us the opportunity this summer and to find the five separate sites with five different stores and store managers that supported our program. In the past, we've also used Mariano's. It's not easy to convince employers that our students that have low vision and blindness can do the job as well or better than their other employees.
So what's their biggest objection, the employers?
I think it's not knowing and fear. I know the first day 2 years ago at Mariano's in the bakery department, I had the manager come up to me mm-hmm. at the end of the day and say, your students did better than any of my employees. It made them raise their work ethic tremendously because they saw how hard your kids were working. It embarrassed them.
And how are they better?
Well, that made them work harder, take it more seriously, see the drive that our kids were put into it. You know, the kids want to work. They want to show that they can do it. And I think that it's a known fact that people with disabilities tend to work harder and take less sick days just because they want to make sure that people know that they are capable and can do it.
Okay. And you also have mentors who are adults who are visually blind.
Right.
How do they get involved, and what kind of commitment do you ask of them?
Well, for most of my programs, I try to have people who are blind and visually impaired as mentors. For example, in the Money Matters class, I have Maureen Reed, who is a person with blindness, who is one of the teachers. And then she's able to talk to the kids frankly, honestly, and support them throughout. And she also happens to run the Chicago Lighthouse Scholarship Program, which is a plus for them to get to know her in that. One of the biggest programs that I have is the Career Fair, which is generally in March. I don't have a date yet. And for that, I have numerous people who are successful that are blind and visually impaired. And they meet with each group of kids and they rotate through and tell their stories, how they got where they are, some of the positives and some of the negative things that they've had to endure to get to where they're at today. I try to have people of all ages, all careers, and I'm always open to having more people come to talk to the kids.
Okay. Now, the youths can sign up on the website. What about folks who are visually impaired or owners of businesses who would like to give these youths a try at their places of business?
Oh, I would love for them to contact me. I can be reached at the Chicago Lighthouse, either by email at shelley.hamer, shelley.hamer, at chicagolighthouse.org, or by phone, 847-510-2055. I would love to engage more people and more businesses in our activities.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming by. And this is just one of 39 programs that the Chicago Lighthouse offers. And she's Shelley Hamer, manager of the Chicago Lighthouse's Youth Transition Program. So you might want to give her a call. Mm-hmm. If you're a business owner or if you're a youth and you'd like to be a part of the group, I think that would be great, huh?
I'm available to talk anytime. One other program real quickly that I didn't mention is Summer in the City. That's a very popular one. We offer it two separate weeks in the summer where the youth, we all together live at a UIC dorm and spend the week using public transportation, buses, trains, by foot. Explore the city of Chicago, eat at different restaurants, have so many experiences. The kids not only have a fantastic time, they get to meet other kids that are blind and visually impaired. They learn a lot, they make lifetime friends, and they just have a great time. So that will be out on the website soon also once we have the date secured.
All right. So we'll keep all of that in mind. And, of course, we'll be talking about it as those dates get nearer for those activities.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, this is The Beacon, a public service for the Chicago Lighthouse. We'll be right back.
You are about to enter another dimension, a dimension not only of work and earnings, but of pension and leisure, a journey into a wondrous land of imagination. You unlock this door with Social Security's Retirement Estimator and online benefit application. Next stop, the Retirement Zone. Picture a man sitting at his home computer. He is unsure whether he should apply now or work a little longer and begin receiving benefits at age 70. He's about to find out with a visit to the Retirement Estimator. The estimator uses his past earnings and allows him to key in variable future earnings and retirement dates to complete the picture of a retirement he'd like to live. Enter the Retirement Zone yourself. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov. That's www.socialsecurity.gov. We'll see you in the Retirement Zone.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to The Beacon on this Saturday morning. I hope you're enjoying whatever it is you're having, be it coffee, orange juice, pancakes. No? Well, I don't know if that's highly recommended.
Beer-flavored coffee?
In the morning, but if that's your choice. And sitting in with me is Sandy and Brett in place of what's her name again? I think her name is Lainey.
Lainey, that's right.
That.
She's been here for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hard to forget.
Yes, but we'll somehow soldier on. And
yes.
And coming up next will be both of you with a canned segment of highly recommended. Is there any way you want to introduce this or anything you want to say about it as a primer?
Yeah, I think you guys are in for a treat that's definitely quite broad. We go from a book talking about psychology to a Shakespeare-esque type play.
So we
let's
hope.
Uh, Hope you enjoy. And you are listening to It's Highly Recommended. Sandy, she actually has a pretty interesting book that she would like to kind of tell us about and recommend to maybe some people.
Exactly. So, Brett, I have always been, you know, obviously I like nonfiction, fiction. I like to read a little bit of everything. But fiction, especially when it comes to psychology and, you know, how-to guides or just, you know, I guess, if you will, random information. I've always been very fascinated by things like that. And so a book I recently came across is actually called The Psychology of the Internet.
Okay.
So it's written by Patricia Wallace. And the book actually is very neat for, you know, if you're interested in that type of stuff. It discusses the internet in broad terms, specifically, you know, how it affects, how it's shaping, really, you know, our brain, our thought process, even our emotions. It covers everything from email to social media to gaming and even more extreme topics like, you know, pornography, child trafficking,
mm-hmm.
and obviously lighter things like shopping. So it gives us, I guess a brief glimpse into the world of the internet. And one of the things that I found very fascinating is, just to give everyone an example, is, you know, when it comes to email, mm-hmm. that I know for me, Brett, sometimes it is so hard to explain something through email, you know, type it up, and I'll be trying to write up an email, you know, for two friends, two coworkers, and by a certain point, I'm like, let me just give you a call and we'll talk about it more. Because there are certain things that are, you know, virtually impossible to explain through email.
Right.
Without sounding, you know, cold or harsh or, you know, without unexpectedly giving someone a different sense of what you meant, a different impression of what you
right.
meant.
Right, yeah. Yeah, emotions are hard to get through when you're just doing it as a text-based anything. Like, to be able to show the exact emotion you're trying to have come across, that's a difficult task.
Well, in one of the examples they illustrated is, it was a couple, and they were exchanging emails.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, actually, it wasn't a couple. It was a boyfriend and girlfriend. They uh-huh. were still single. But they were exchanging emails, and so the email that the woman sent the man, it sounded, you know, at first it started off friendly and, you know, everything was good, but then she went on and on ranting, and by the middle of the email it sounded like, you know, it was a totally different person
uh-huh.
Writing it. So the whole message of this book is to, you know, show that the internet really does influence, you know, how we think, how we act, even sites like social media. For some people, it might bring some narcissistic tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we know, there's Facebook, Twitter, and there are some people that might be like, oh, I want 100 likes on this picture.
Right.
Or,
yep.
you know, I'm having a contest to see who gets the most likes.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very fascinating and with very fascinating book. And with me, I think it made me more conscious. Like, even now that I'll be sending out an email or writing something on Facebook, and I'll really stop to think. I'm like, okay, how am I coming across? Am I coming across like my...
like, what's your tone?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like my Sandy human personality.
Uh-huh.
Or am I coming across like a, you know, snotty, feisty type of person?
Right. Gotcha.
So, you know, it's highly recommended, as you said, for some people, for people that mm-hmm. are interested and fascinated with this type of literature.
Did you read it as an audio? Was you listen to it as an audiobook?
Yeah.
Or?
So actually, I found it on the Bard app
okay.
for the National Library Service,
uh-huh.
and it was one of those books. I often like to browse their list and see what's new, what they've added,
okay.
and I just came across this book, and I'm like, well, I found the title interesting, and thought I'd click on it. And I do have to point out, Brett, that this, the first edition of this book came out about 10 years ago, in 2008. But as we know, the internet has evolved since then.
That is for sure.
Yeah, it really has, and it continues to evolve. So in 2016, they actually released a second edition.
Like a revision to it.
Exactly, you know, focusing on social media and, you know, Facebook, Twitter. And this is actually the edition that I read.
Oh, very good.
Edition. So, yep, if you are looking for psychology / random and fascinating information, The Psychology of the Internet is a book that I highly recommend.
Oh, very nice.
And I know that you, Brett, moving on, I know that you have a performance you went to watch at the Shakespeare Theater.
Yeah, that's correct. Last week, I was able to take in a show at the Shakespeare Theater called Nell Gwyn. It's a interesting play. A lot of the Shakespeare Theater stuff that they do is all, you know, most of the time it's Shakespeare, hence the name. But this is one of their shows throughout the year that they do that isn't written by Shakespeare, but has, you can definitely tell that it was inspired by Shakespeare. There's lots of twists and turns. Kind of the people that you think are the heroes might not be exactly who you think they are. But this is basically about a woman who is like an orange merchant. She sells oranges, but it starts off with them sitting in a theater watching a play, and all of a sudden a couple people in the crowd start heckling this guy on stage. And Nell Gwyn, she ends up talking to this person while they're doing this performance. And all of a sudden, she's invited on stage, and this guy decides to invite her in teaching her how to become an actress. So this is during a time period where there's not a lot of female actresses at all, really. And so it's kind of about the story of her going from being like a merchant, and her family, her sister and her mom are known as being prostitutes, and she was in this field as well. And so she goes from being a prostitute to an actress to being a love interest to King Charles at the time. This is based in London. And so it's an extremely funny show. Like, there's so much wit and just fun music. It's not quite a musical. It's definitely accompanied by music, but it's based around this theater. You're it's the majority of this play takes place in the theater that King Charles is kind of overseeing. He basically comes in quite frequently to watch what they do. And so they gear a lot of their content towards him and making him happy. And so there is music that she is like doing lyrics to. She comes up with a lot of she helps with the writing of the play. So she has a lot more of her hands in these shows than what a woman would have at this time. And to the chagrin of some of the men in the cast, there was one man who was known as being the female characters. And I was telling you the other day, like, one of my favorite lines in the play was, no woman can play a man better than a man. You know, no woman can play a woman better than a man can. And so, you know, there's some really good, like, witty humor. They do poke fun at some of the things going on in our world nowadays. And so it's a very new play. It started off in London, and then this is its first premiere showing here in the States. So it came straight here to Shakespeare Theater. And it's one that I think anyone who's interested, who is blind, visually impaired, they have an audio described performance coming on October 28th. I was able to go in ahead of time to check it out. And so I had Jason Harrington. He's the actual person who does the audio description for Shakespeare Theater. He did a very, very good job. There were some technical difficulties on this night. They were also filming, and I think that had a little bit to do with some of the audio description cutting in and out. But in my previous experiences, what they do is flawless. So this time they had a little hiccups. So I'm gonna let it, you know, I'm gonna let it slide, because they normally, I've not had any issues prior to this, and I've gone to see probably, this was my sixth or seventh play I've seen at Shakespeare Theater. So it is, if you're looking for just a fun time, put a smile on your face, some really like fun music, you're looking for a nice, witty, good time, Nell Gwyn is definitely one to go and check out. It's my favorite play that they've done so far out of the ones I've seen at Shakespeare Theater. So you're in for a treat if you decide to go check it out.
All right. Well, we're actually running out of time. It's been great, you know, going from talking about the internet to Shakespeare Theater. A nice, nice little variety.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely bounced around a little bit, but it was definitely a good variety for people to be able to. I think it covers a little bit for everybody.
Exactly.
So, my name is Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And you're listening to WCPT AM 820. And this is The Beacon. And we will be right back with more after this.
Simplify your life by opening a My Social Security account. What's My Social Security? It's a secure online account that allows you immediate access to your personal Social Security information. During your working years, you can use My Social Security to view your Social Security statement, to check your earnings record and see estimates of the future retirement, disability, and survivor benefits you and your family may receive. If you receive benefits, you can get a benefit verification, check your benefit and payment information, change your address and phone number, and even change your direct deposit information. Open a My Social Security account today and simplify your life. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. While you're online, check out all the other things you can do at www.socialsecurity.gov.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the highlight of the show.
Aww.
It's time for the Awe Factor.
Thanks, Brian. So today we're talking about a waiter who provides excellent customer service to his customers and was greatly rewarded in the most unexpected of ways. Most of us do appreciate a food server's exceptional service. Food service is a very difficult industry. I worked 3 months in food service, and it was the most stressful 3 months of my life. So I have the utmost respect for food servers. And when they go above and beyond and provide exceptional service, then, you know, they certainly earn a little something from me, for sure. So there was a customer by the name of Edward Pollard who went out of his way to repay his food server, his waiter, for his consistent kindness and just always going above and beyond. So Pollard frequently comes to a local eatery for lunch during work. And every time he does, he requests a specific waiter because of the man's wonderful service. And Pollard says this gentleman takes such pride in his work. He is always extremely polite and conversational, the kind of person who instantly puts a smile on your face. Pollard also noticed that this man, on his way, one day working, coming home from work, Pollard saw him walking to a bus stop. And he says, I've seen him walking in the blazing summer heat, and I have seen him walking in the harsh, cold winter to and from the bus stop. And no matter his circumstances, when I see him at work, he is always upbeat and a joy to be around. So this inspiring outlook on life encouraged Pollard to do something kind for his waiter. Instead of leaving a hefty tip on his meal, he, guess what he did?
Brought him a dinner.
Better. He bought him a car. So he made sure the automobile was parked outside the restaurant, and he called the waiter out and said, "Do you see that car right there? That's your car." And the waiter, it doesn't say his name at all in here, but he was instantly crying and just so gracious and so thankful for the generosity of Mr. Edward Pollard. And it just once again reminds me that, I mean, certainly you don't need to go out of your way to buy somebody a car, but even small gestures of kindness, the waiter who goes above and beyond every day, you know, or just being kind to the people that you interact with is an important part of, I don't know, making life better, yeah. I think, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So our friend, Mr. Edward Pollard, in the generosity out of his heart, rewarded his very kind waiter with a car. So he no longer needs to walk in the heat and the cold to and from the bus stop to work every day.
That's
and
really
that is
nice.
This week's The Awe Factor.
Aww. That's a nice story. I wonder if they'll make a movie out of that. They made a movie out of the waitress who was given the lottery ticket or something like that, or someone shared a lottery ticket. This is many, many years
ago. Oh, yes, Bridget Fonda and Nicolas Cage, right?
Right, right, exactly.
Well, what was that called?
I forget.
I remember that movie. That was kind of a fun movie.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
This is kind of along the same lines. Maybe that guy saw that movie, and either that or he's in a... Watch a lot of Oprah Winfrey.
Maybe. Who knows? Either way.
Give away a car. That's so nice.
The kindness of his heart.
They can say what kind of car.
You know, I watched the video. It doesn't... It was a used car. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
But, right.
Still.
It's certainly... It's going to get him to and from work and
right.
probably make his life much, much easier from here on out.
This is Bird Note. Have you noticed those little brown birds with red breasts at your bird feeders? Those are house finches, familiar birds all across North America. The female house finch is brown and streaked. The male, similar, but with bright red patches on its head, breast, and rump. Researchers have shown that the red coloration of males is produced from carotenoid pigments contained in the bird's diet. Carotenoids are the same pigments that give oranges and carrots their color, the pigments that make goldfinches yellow and flamingos pink. We also know that male house finches develop brighter plumage when they're growing in new feathers if they eat more fruits containing carotenoids. So, well-fed means bright red. When a male house finch sings to attract a female, he's better off being well-fed, because females prefer more brightly colored males. Redder males also attract females in better condition, and such a pair raises, on the average, more young. The message is clear. In the world of house finches, the way to romance and a family begins with a good diet. The bird sounds for Bird Note are from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Nancy Rumble and John Kessler composed and played the theme music. I'm Michael Stein.
Welcome back, everybody. One of my favorite segments of the show. I like our segment, but Luke's Laboratory is coming up, and he definitely is a wealth of knowledge and has great things that he brings to our attention that maybe we don't know exist in the technology realm. So I look forward to it. How about you, Sandy?
I sure do. We'll see what he is concocting today down in his laboratory.
Indeed.
Well, it's another Saturday morning, and this time on the Beacon, that means that we get a chance to talk to Luke Scriven about accessible technology. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. I am ready and raving for action. And I'm also today going to be at UIC, and I will be at UIC until about 11 o'clock. They are having an event for parents of children with a visual impairment, and so I will be there with some assistive technology to talk about that.
You know, UIC is a big place. Exactly where?
Ah, that's a good question. I believe it is in the Eye and Ear Infirmary. However, I haven't received 100% confirmation of that. So I am actually not 100% sure as of yet.
Okay. Yes. Well, if you go to UIC and you want to attend, I guess you can always ask around because that's something that people do a lot. It's a place where there's lots of places you can go for all kinds of things. So
just, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Yes, just ask.
Yep, there you go.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, what magnificent piece of technology are you going to talk about today?
Today I'm going to talk about the OrCam MyEye 2.0, and I have talked about this before, but it seems timely to bring it up again because there was recently a piece on Dr. Phil. For those Dr. Phil fans out there, you're probably already aware of this. Dr. Phil did a really good piece on the OrCam MyEye 2.0. He highlighted its use with a veteran who had become injured from an IED. And so as a result of that, he had become visually impaired, and he was talking about how OrCam had served to improve his life.
Wow.
So the OrCam MyEye 2.0 is basically a little camera that goes on the side of a pair of glasses. Now, it could be your own glasses if you wear glasses, or it could be just a frame that they give you. And the glasses themselves don't do anything. There's no prescription. They don't help you see. They just act as a mount for this little camera. And this little camera has a speaker in it also. And what it's able to do is many different things, but the main thing, I think, is it's able to read printed text to you. And so it has a technology called optical character recognition. And if you look at a page of text, then it will read it to you. Or you can point to an area on the page where you want it to read, and it will read that specific part of the page to you. And it works very well. It's very fast at doing this. It's very accurate at doing this. And it's perfect for mail, for books, magazines, newspaper. And it's extremely portable. So wherever you go, you can have it with you. It's discreet, just a small camera on the side of the glasses, and I really like it. And the version 2.0, for those wondering, it used to be that there was a wire going from the camera to a control panel, and now they've managed to get rid of the wire and the control panel. Everything, all the electronics, all the controls are all inside this little camera. So very cool stuff.
So the camera's on the glasses, so you access the controls through the camera by manipulating it on your glasses.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. The camera itself has got a touch-sensitive bar on the side, and you can do various things like tapping and swiping on the bar. So those who are familiar with smartphones and tablets will be used to those types of gestures. But you can actually use the OrCam entirely without having to touch the camera at all, because it will recognize gestures. And so a gesture, for example, might be pointing at the page that you want it to read. It will see your finger. It will know that you want to read. It will take a picture, and then it will read to you. If you want it to stop reading, you can hold your hand out in front of you in a stop gesture with your five fingers extended. If you want it to tell the time to you, you can hold your wrist up as if you were looking at a watch. If you want it to tell the date, keep your wrist held up, and it will then tell you the date. So there's all these different gestures that you can use to manipulate it. You can even, to make it extremely easy to use, you can set it to automatically start reading whatever text you hold up in front of you. So you could hold up something in front of you, and after 2 or 3 seconds, it will start to read it to you.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
I think I saw something like that on a sci-fi program when I was a kid. Now it's reality.
Yeah, that's it. All of those things that used to be fantasy are now becoming reality.
Yeah. All right. So, one more roadshow?
Just the one, potentially. Still not sure. We definitely have one next week, and let me tell you the details of that. It's in Indiana, at in Merrillville, and it's a place called Tradewinds. The address is 3198 East 83rd Place, Merrillville, Indiana, 46410. And that's going to be next Wednesday, and that potentially will be the last roadshow of the season. There might be another one the week after in Mount Prospect, but I'm still not 100% sure on that. If there is, I'll be sure to give the details on the show next week.
All right, I'm sure you could try out the OrCam 2.0 there, right?
Definitely, we will have that there. And of course, we can also do in-home demonstrations. And you can also make an appointment to come to either our Glenview location or our downtown location to see that as well.
And if you make an appointment and you come in and you talk to Luke, it's possible that you could be
Customer of the Week.
Excellent.
Yeah. And this week's Customer of the Week is a lady called Susan Messenger. Now, I have been working with Susan for the past 7 years, which is the same amount of time that I have been in Chicago for. So she has definitely been a fixture of my time in Chicago. She lives on Lakeshore Drive, a nice apartment high up there with a good view of the lake. And she purchased a computer from us and a copy of a program called C-Desk. And I have kind of been helping her with that on and off for the last 7 years. And recently she bought a new computer and she needed me to go set up C-Desk on that computer and also figure out why whenever she printed anything, it just showed up as a big black bar instead of actually printing any text. So I went over to see her and we had a good time. She's a very nice. She offers me biscuits. She offers me orange juice and she tells me tales. And I found out, which I wasn't aware of, that she is actually in her mid-90s.
What?
And yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that at all. So I wanted to give a shout out to Susan and say it's been fun working with you all these years, and I hope we have many more years working together.
Wow, that's amazing. She's in her mid-90s.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that'll conclude this week's business. Thanks very much, Luke, for coming in
My pleasure.
Updating us. And, of course, if you're anywhere near UIC, you said?
UIC, that's it, yep. So on Taylor Street, Taylor and Wood, somewhere around there. And look for the ear and eye infirmary, I guess.
This is The Beacon, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
I started at the Lighthouse when I was still in college at UIC. It was 2012, and I worked here until about 3.5 years, until the middle of 2015. This is a GPS unit. It's a portable GPS receiver. When I was here, I did a lot of one-on-one training, but for this sort of stuff, I mean, I just, you know, do it on the phone and things, but I would walk people through. We'd go out in the community and actually work with it, you know. I never saw myself working in blindness until I worked here, and I started working with Tom Persky. And really, I had used technology and utilized blindness technology for myself. So coming here, I was able to start, you know, learning and working with technology and really fell in love with it. The pieces were in place for the Lighthouse to work with the call center, but some of the accessibility needed to be assessed. And I was able to, you know, go through the standard training curriculum. And when I went through that, I was able, you know, to assess where the needs were and where the various pieces were that needed to be worked on. One result of the tollway project was not only to make that system accessible, but to show that we were opening doors for, you know, the future of blind people and working in and around this area. And you can take that to a national level as well. So we were opening doors here in Chicago with this specific tollway project, but we can then, you know, shift that to opening doors for the totally blind population across the country or around the world. What I really think said so much about the Lighthouse. I was upstairs in the call center and my house burned down, but most of my personal possessions were melted. And I had taken 2 days off, which I didn't ever really take any days off. And I just, you know, I had told my boss, I just said, I really need to sift through everything here and try to figure out what's going on. And I came back to work and there was a pile of money, and there was a coat, and that was my lighthouse family was there. That was my call center, and I was the only male in that room, and it was such a great environment to be in. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the lighthouse. I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive. Not just when it comes to work or anything like that, but just being able to develop, you know, those professional skills. I mean, the communication, the emails, the everything it takes to really hold a real job. I mean, and when we talk about employment for blind people, it's about getting into the real world and holding that salary position, and it's not easy. And I never would be there. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the lighthouse. I wouldn't consider it to be a stepping stone. I would consider it to be a launch pad. It was a way for me to launch myself forward and upward in anything, you know, that I chose to do.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year. Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, folks, believe it or not, that is the hour. And I want to thank both of you guys, Sandy, Brett, Sandy, for sitting in for Lainey, who will be back next week, I would imagine.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Oh, sure. No, it's great to have you guys here live from time to time. And I also want to thank Luke Scriven for his contribution to this week's show. All of you have a great weekend. Get out there. Go Bears. And go Blackhawks. And Indeed. Go Bulls. We'll talk to you again next week. This has been The Beacon. Have a nice week.